Revelation chapter 8. And since we're just coming back into this series that we left a long time, I'm going to try to summarize. No, I'm really not going to try to summarize the last nine chapters in one sentence. But you should remember that this book, many people think prophecy is just about the future, that it all is talking either future or past. But really, prophecy is declaring the word of God to the present with echoes of the past and intimations and indications of what the future will be like. So this book tells us of things that are happening. And John said in the beginning of chapter 1, verse 9, John, your fellow brother participant in the tribulation and the kingdom and the perseverance, which is in Jesus Christ. So writing then, the church was experiencing, the church, the kingdom, the people of God were experiencing tribulation, and they were experiencing also the confidence of perseverance. God keeps his people faithful. And so as this book of prophecy goes on with seven sets of seven, there is a general intensification of this tribulation, of this conflict goes, it intensifies up to the very end of the book and the final judgment and the final. So you have a final judgment early on because it's telling what that judgment will be like. And we saw under the seals that the destruction, normal destruction, was a fourth. And so because of sin, God does keep us, the human race, keep us under judgment. We have pandemics, we have wars, we have rumors of wars, these things happen. But in the section we're looking at today, the seven trumpets, we find an intensification. You'll see, I think when I read it, you'll see what that intensification is. Now I'm going to read it. I really thought this is such a long section, I don't even want to read all this. But I think that's what happens with the book of Revelation. We just assume that everybody's read it. We pick out the few verses that we can actually explain, which isn't all of them, of course, and we just kind of skim over the rest. But the book itself says, blessed are those who read and hear this book. So I'm going to give you the chance. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to give you a chance to hear it, because I can't explain everything, but I think if you listen, you'll get a sense of what God is doing, even in our midst today. Verse 1. And when he broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and he filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. And the first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and the green grass was all burned up. And the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star was called Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun, and a third of the moon, a third of the stars were smitten, so that a third of them might be darkened, and the day might not shine for a third of it, and the night in the same way. And I looked, and I heard an eagle flying in mid-heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went out of the pit like smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke came forth locusts upon the earth, and power was given them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And they were told that they should not hurt the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. And they will long to die, and death flees from them. And the appearance of the locust was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads, as it were, crowns of gold. And their faces were like the faces of men. And they had hair like the hair of women. And their teeth were like the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. And they have tails like scorpions and stings. And in their tails is their power to hurt men for 5 months. They have as king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon. And in the Greek, he has the name Apollyon. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, one saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released, so that they might kill a third of mankind. And the number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. And this is how I saw in the vision the horses and those who sat on them. The riders had breastplates the color of fire and of hyacinth and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses are like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. A third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone, which proceeded out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and their tails. For their tails are like serpents and have heads with which they do harm. And the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. As far as the reading of God's word. Contemplating this and thinking of this passage, is this good news? Well, let's say it's good news in a bitter pill. How's that? Three sections in summary that come to my attention. When we read a large section like that, we get a flow of what's happening. And you can see right away that it's not like, well, this happens, tick, 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 these happens, and then these happens, and then these things will happen. We see that it's with these cycles that it's giving of seven, the seven trumpets, it's a common theme of these things that are happening. If you add it up, well, if you have a third of this and a third of that, eventually you're going to run out of thirds. And so the third is not to be taken, well, now let's see, let's do the math. But what you do need to notice is, did you hear one third? You know, now I have to stop and think about it. But which is greater, one third or one fourth? I know. Yeah, okay, I might say the wrong thing, but you get the idea that there is a gradual intensification, and later on with the bowls of wrath, it's going to be total. It's going to be big. So these things are happening. And so when we finished the series on Acts, we talked about how the church was growing by the Holy Spirit, and we saw that right out of the gate, there was tribulation. And John is writing this. This is probably written towards the end of the first century, maybe around 90 AD. We don't know for sure. But we see the church through the years, through the centuries, has ups and downs and ups and downs. And yet the power to do evil is only increasing. Imagine atomic power and how that can be abused. You don't have to imagine it. We know. And so when we look at these things, there's three things that we get these little asides here. That opening part talks about the prayers of the saints. And so I really want to focus on that briefly, because that's the happiest part of this whole thing, is the prayers of the saints. And then look at that section briefly of the six trumpets, the seventh, of course, we'll get week after next. The six trumpets and how that parallels what we already heard in the seals. And then look at that ending at the different response. First of all, the prayers of the saints. The things that impresses me is silence in heaven for about half an hour. What kind of silence? To me it seems almost like a gasp, if I will, just like speechless. What's going to happen? And then there's this offering with the censer and the smoke. You know, the smoke gives the from the Bible, the symbolism there is the smoke coming up from the burnt offering that was the substitute for sin. So it has the idea of sin being judged and the smoke of that sacrifice going up to God and being a pleasing smell in his nostrils, and mixing that with the incense, the sweet smelling part, which are the prayers of the saints responding to God. So you have this cloud of incense coming before God, and mixed in this are the prayers of the saints, the prayers of God's people. And it speaks to of those prayers that go up. What happens when God's people pray? It goes up to heaven. The prayers of God's people influence, they can't change God, but please God. But I want you to look at results. We're going to see what those results are, but since I read it, you already know. The people of God pray, and judgments fall on the earth. We rarely pray that kind of thing, except when we're riled up politically. We pray that the other guys will fail. And when we're really angry, we pray that they'll fail and have bad consequences. Right? Amen. You know? What are these prayers? These prayers, I want to suggest to you, are not merely, God, my arm hurts, make it feel better. God, my grandchildren are going through a hard time in school. God, we got a leaky faucet somewhere. I'm being facetious, but really, in light of prayer before the Creator of heaven and earth, many of our requests are a bit paltry. They matter. Don't get me wrong. They matter. Any little boo-boo of a little child's finger is important. But what kind, if are these our prayers? The prayers are ultimately, we're praying for the glory of God. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your glory prevail, no matter what happens to us. Did you get that? Do you realize that our prayers for the glory of God may be praying bad times for America? Gulp. It bothers me too. It really does. We may be praying judgment on China. Oh, that's okay, right? But if you have Chinese family who love Jesus, you probably wouldn't feel that way. Maybe it should fall on Ethiopia because they've been such a messed up country. Maybe it should fall on those Islamic countries. Well, yeah, that's okay. But what happens when God's people pray is that He hears our prayer. And if we are truly praying for the glory of God, the glory of God is greater than how we feel or how it will influence us. God, do your thing. If it hurts, so long as you get the glory. Now, it so happens that God, we get hints of that in here. He says, don't touch those who have my mark. He don't touch. We are, by God's grace, marked people. We who trust in Jesus, we who love him. So if bad things come and we go through bad things, trust me that it's because he wants it to be. And he will give us the strength. But as a general principle, he protects us from so much. Yes, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But God views us as the apple or the pupil of his eye. He cares about us. So we're not going to go through anything that he's not going to be there with us. Remember, he went to the cross. Remember that. And he calls us to live for him, to pray, and to pray for his glory before all things. God be glorified. God be glorified if I get a bad report from the doctor. God be glorified if I have difficulties. God be glorified if things aren't going our way in our country. God be glorified. God, you get the glory, and we'll be okay. Prayers of the saints matter. Second thing, the scope of the judgments. I already said that part. It's one third. And one commentator I read said that 1/4 is kind of like the natural catastrophes in the earth. You know, there's always people dying. You know, before COVID, people were dying already. And then he talks about 1/3 as an intensification. And all of the earth, the creation suffers in this, not just the people, but the creation suffers. And so don't be surprised, echoing what Jesus said, when you hear of wars and rumors of war and tribulation, and don't be surprised. These things are happening, and they're happening with greater and greater intensity. I think the first four trumpets really do echo some of the things we saw in the seals, and I'm not going to go repeat that. You can go and look back at that. But then the fifth starts getting more involved with the people themselves and the locusts. To me, this is one of the hard ones, but one thing you can notice is that those locusts represent all the values, all the things that the world values, that they have power. They have power over others with the sting. They have crowns of gold. They have faces of men, strength men. They have the beautiful hair of women. You get all these things are wrapped up. And their goal is, the goal is to bring destruction, not to destroy, but to discourage, if anything, to sting and to hurt, not to kill. And so that people would rather die then face the torment. You think of the depression. You think of the way that our culture is dependent on the stuff the cartels are bringing across our border. Well, part of the problem is our dependence, our reliance on these things. There's that in it as well. The spirit of depression. You look at some of the countries that are really closed and don't have the kind of freedom we do, and watch the suicide rate. When people have no hope, this is the kind of depression that people outside of Jesus Christ. In fact, as a Christian, sometimes I wonder, if I didn't believe in Jesus, I don't know what I would do. I mean, I just cannot imagine living under that kind of load of depression. I mean, I just take it for granted that, you know, I've known about Jesus since I was a little kid. I can imagine how horrible it would be just to live life without him. Yet people are doing it all around us all the time. And then he came to the sixth trumpet, and there's just a whole bunch of plagues, you know, earthquakes and fire, brimstone, things that are happening in the earth. Well, you know, just remember, what does a trumpet do? Have you ever heard a soft and gentle trumpet? Have you? You know, any of you in the military, is that bugle? Even when the bugle plays taps, you can hear it. And trumpets are to sound the alarm. And that's what I believe this passage is doing. It's sounding the alarm. We know about the seals. God's in control. He's in control of these things. But these are saying God is giving you a warning. World, God is giving you a warning with trumpets. It's loud and clear. We may cringe. We may cringe and say, well, I'm praying, God, bring about your justice. Yes, bring about your justice. And then when it happens and we see horrible things happening in the earth, we say, well, my God wouldn't do that. You ever heard that? It may be because you prayed. Did you ever think about that? If you did, if you prayed for God's glory, it may be because you prayed that some of these things are happening. Our prayers for God's glory. Not merely our well-being, not merely our triumphing over our enemies, but the glory of God in defending his people and establishing his justice. You know, if God didn't rain some justice on us, do you realize what kind of mess we'd be in? Remember the Tower of Babel? I mean, that seems so small compared to the arrogance of today. I mean, it's amazing going to the moon, going beyond, going to Mars. Going into space for fun, count me out. But just imagine if we weren't hampered. Just imagine if we weren't limited by these judgments of God in the earth. Where would we be now? We would have created a perfect hell on earth. We're doing our best anyway. The judgments. So with this message of the the six trumpets, and the seventh, of course, is the final one that'll really give us the grand finale. And there will be an interlude before that, an interlude which will help us know how we're to live in these days. That's next week. But the worst part of this whole passage are those last couple of verses. And the rest of mankind who weren't killed, those who survived the judgments, what does it say? They repented and they fell on their knees and said, God, have mercy on us sinners. That's what it says, right? Oh, we're going to fix it. We're going to fix the climate. We'll wait. Don't need to repent. We can do this. We can fix the climate, but let's don't talk about some other things. They didn't repent. After 9/11, remember how people flocked to church the first week? A little less the second. Well, COVID kept us out of church, but you'd think that we would flock back. What used to be called Bedside Baptist, but I'm afraid there's a Bedside Presbyterian now as well, and Methodist, and all of them. You would think that when bad things are happening, that we say, God, have mercy. You've heard of the foxhole Christian, you know, when you're under fire. God! And if it's sincere, I believe God does hear. There are people who, you know, are hit over the head. Well, Apostle Paul was one. He had God appeared to him from heaven, whack, with, you know, striking him blind. And he got it. He responded. But the reality is all these bad things happen. And does it cause men to repent? Well, look at the other side of the coin. You say, well, if God would do miracles, miracles don't, I mean, people in the New Testament saw Jesus doing one miracle after another. Did that cause them to believe? So if neither judgments nor miracles will cause a person to believe, what does it take? I've always had a bit of an aversion to fire and brimstone sermons. It turns out we all Presbyterians, we don't like fire and brimstone sermons. But the reason I'll tell you why I don't like them is it's because, you know, it's almost like trying to scare the hell out of people or scare people out of hell into heaven. You know, frightening tactics. And if what God is doing doesn't do it, you know, why should we? I remember a fellow preacher in another country, in another place, you know, I did a funeral with him and the graveside, you know, he just was so elaborate about here's the path down here, you know, and, you know, just using the opportunity to create a whole scenario of judgment and drama. What does it take? What does it take? I can tell you. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. When we were crazy, arrogant, enemies of God, ignorant, foolish, stupid, rebellious, evil, immoral, idolaters, worrying about the things of this world, gold and silver and profit and loss, mostly profit. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And not only did he die for us, but then he sent his Spirit to get hold of our hearts, to enable us to believe. You know, you can't be good enough. Nobody is. But he's given us a Spirit to break our hearts, to break the stone of our hearts and to give us tender hearts towards him. So, can we brag about how smart we were? How much smarter we are than everybody else because we believe in God? Well, no. We were born into his family. We were born again into his family. His grace, his goodness, his love. And so in conclusion, this bitter pill, I hope you get the pill part instead of the bitter. God cares for us. He's given us a heart to repent. God provides protection for us along the way that we're in under these judgments and bad things happening in the world. He gives us protection. Yes, we could be called to die. We could be called to suffer. Yes, but we know that. We understand. And best of all, He's hearing our prayers. He hears us when we pray. He hears and He answers better than we ask it, bringing His cleansing presence into this earth, cleansing us, peopling heaven, causing people to come and believe, brokenhearted before Him. May God give us courage. And sometimes I title this Divine Shock and Awe. I was thinking of the Iraq War that we saw on TV, just saw the experience of it. We're living in the midst of it, but we're in God's hands. And He is in control. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank You. Thank You for these warnings. Thank You that You don't just leave us ignorant, but You have called us to love You, to serve You, and to pray. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We seek Your glory and we delight that You are sovereign, and especially that You have loved us and called us to be Yours. As we commit our lives afresh, even today as we have gathered, we commit our lives afresh to trust You, to follow You, to serve You, and to love You. As we make our prayer in Jesus' name, amen. Please stand for the benediction. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen.